everyone. This is sort of something we're new we're doing here. Welcome to the Second City Sports Podcast. I'm Lakina McGee. No, J5, he's resting up because remember, guys, he's going to be a daddy soon. But I'm going to be talking to someone right now. She was all conference at DePaul. She covered Chicago sports here for a few years, but now she's doing big things over at the Yes Network and Fox Sports and FS1. She's actually going to be covering the Junior NBA World Championship. She's going to tell us a little bit more about that. At Sarah Kustak on Twitter. She is Sarah Kustak. Sarah, how are you?
Wonderful, Lakina. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. So for those who are not familiar with it, tell everyone about this championship, age range, stuff like that.
Well, it's a first-of-its-kind type of tournament and world championship, and the NBA and Junior NBA has done such an incredible job just really expanding and reaching out globally, and I think that's a part of what we're going to have an opportunity to see when we're down in Orlando next week, and it's the top 14 and under teams from in the United States and around the world. So most of these boys and girls are either 13 or 14 years old. And I tell you, I was like, I put some of them. We'll get to see more when we get down there next week for some of the practices before it gets started. But they are talented, and it's fun. But the way that these teams have earned their way to the Junior World Championship at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex down in Orlando is they played in a regional tournament. So there's going to be 32 total teams that are down there. There are 16 boys teams and 16 girls teams. But on each side, there's 8 boys teams and girls teams from the different regions within the United States. So there's a Northwest region, West, Central, South, Midwest, Southeast, Mid-Atlantic, Northwest, so kind of from everywhere. And those teams earn their way to get here with regional tournaments, the winners advance. And then when it comes to the teams coming internationally, it truly is, and I didn't quite understand everything, Lakina, so I started doing some research on this. It is incredible because what the Junior NBA is doing is leveraging their existing global reach. So they reach 26 million youth in more than 70 countries.
Wow.
Kind of boiled down to, it is absolutely unbelievable. And so what it boils down to has been another 8 different regions, you could call it that. And it's Canada, Mexico, India, Europe, China, South America, and then Asia Pacific, and Africa, and the Middle East. And so 8 girls teams and 8 boys teams from those regions. So it's just going to be absolutely tremendous for all of us, I think, to just have an opportunity not only to watch these kids play basketball with one another, but just interact and get an opportunity to talk to one another and learn about different cultures and just see the diversity that comes in these individuals and these kids and how they practice and what they do and who they are. So that, to me, is what I think is going to be one of the most fun and exciting parts of this entire week. And there's pool play the first couple days to determine seeding. And then once the World Championship gets started, the U.S. teams will play one another and have an ultimate winner, both the boys and girls side, and then the international teams will do the same thing. And then on the final day, on Sunday afternoon, the world champions will be decided by the boys international, the boys United States team, and the girls international, girls United States team playing one another. So just a tremendous opportunity. And there's also, there's the games and the pool play and the championships, of course, which will be a ton of fun, but also there's an off day, if you want to call it an off day, but it's a day of service, so all of these kids that so many of the rest of us will be going out to Kissimmee, Florida, and building a playground, and there's an area, so they'll build a playground that will help service kids and youth in the area, and then that night, similar to what we see with the NBA and WNBA, on like an All-Star weekend, how they have a skills challenge or three-point contest, they'll have a skills night on Thursday night. It's going to be absolutely tremendous. And as well, there's other NBA players and WNBA players that will be there throughout the course of the week. They're holding different clinics and doing community service activities. So it is a jam-packed, loaded week with a lot of fun, but also great competition. and hopefully just a gruesome experience for all of us there, but also for these young athletes that are having an opportunity of a lifetime.
It sounds like there might be some future college and pro prospects at these camps, right?
Without a doubt. I mean, my guess, and I don't know exactly, but 13, 14, it seems like most of these kids are right around the eighth grade range, seventh, eighth grade, around freshman year. So, you know, me growing up and obviously playing AAU basketball and playing in high school and grade school and as you get ready for college, you know, this is a time where kids start to grow into their own a little bit and develop skills where they figure out how to work and hone to get to the next level. So, yeah, to your point exactly, there's going to be a lot of talent and some, a lot of kids that, you know, we've started to kind of see or talk about or some teams that you may want to keep an eye on. And who knows, in a couple of years, you know, we may be talking about, remember when we saw this young boy or this young girl who's now turned into a future college star, future NBA or WNBA star. So, yeah, it's not going to be short of talent, given just how hard all of these teams have worked to actually get to this point and what it took for them to, you know, to kind of beat other teams and play a lot of steep competition throughout their journey to get here.
Do you think that this will sort of dampen like the AAUs of the world, or you think this competition is just an expansion on, listen, this is another place where kids can go hone their skills, learn some new skills, learn from some of the best, have great, you know, former players like you calling the games for them?
Well, you know what? I think it's an opportunity. I mean, we often see this in what the Little League World Series has turned into.
True.
How tremendous that is in the sense that these young kids can really compete against some of the best in the world at their age group. And so I know for AAU, you know, I think AAU will always be there. There's a lot of that's transformed, you know, as we all grow. There's more tournaments through different sponsorships of like Nike or Adidas or things like that, Under Armour. But this is an opportunity. Like, that's why this is so unique, because they're actually, you know, the kids from the U.S. are playing other teams and other kids from around the world. So they get to see a whole different type of competition. And you know, and even in the smaller sense of, you know, what I'm curious to see is their different styles. You know, different countries play in a different way. And sometimes, you know, as basketball minds or purists, we really love to break down, you know, what are they doing or how are they running stuff. But I do think it's something that will just be a tremendous addition to what a lot of youth have an opportunity to do as the game grows and continues to grow globally.
Talking to Yes Network and Fox Sports and FS1 analyst Sarah Kustak. Now, Sarah, you're going to be working with some pretty cool people in this competition. You got Noah Eagle, who I know you work with his dad, Ian, during the Nets season on Yes Network, and also Vince Carter. I saw on Twitter that some people were wondering, Vince Carter going to be doing the Junior NBA World Championships? How do you feel when you found out that news?
I was thrilled. Vince Carter, not only is he a tremendous basketball player, future Hall of Famer, but also one of the nicest individuals ever. And covering the NBA, of course, and Vince Carter still playing. We need to still play. I think at age 41 now, and he's just signing with the Atlanta Hawks. But he's someone who, throughout the course of the last 2-3 years, has dabbled in television and a lot of you know, breakdown in basketball and color analyst work. And so it'll be his last. And Vince, I know we've had some calls and everyone's, you know, getting prepared leading up to it. And you can just sense his excitement and his enthusiasm. And I think for all of us, having an opportunity to be a part of something so new and, as I said, unique and different, and having opportunities to see these. And I think for all of us who are playing and have played at a variety of different levels, even as Vince Carter is still playing in the NBA and
yep,
trying to prepare himself for the season, I think there is something that you never lose the love of watching young kids compete and be so passionate about the game and trying to give back and trying to help. And I know not only is Vince calling the game, but he's going to be down there running some clinics, and he's always so generous with his time and with his advice and with his thoughts. And I can only imagine how many autographs and pictures he's going to be signing down there. But that's the cool part, and that's the cool part about the family that really is NBA and junior NBA, and of course for us with Fox, and Fox being able to partner with the junior NBA, because we really all believe that this is going to be an event that, you know, year after year continues on and really grows into something special.
I'm sure Vince will be signing more than a share of autographs. And you too, you're not chop liver either, Sarah.
It'll be fun, that's for sure. That is for sure.
Now, Sarah, now that I have you on, I'd be remiss to ask what you think about the NBA offseason so far. It's been totally crazy with LeBron going to L.A. and Kawhi, and even the Nets, who you cover, making some moves. What's been sort of like the surprise and sort of like, really, so far?
Tina, I like wonder now if we ever really have an offseason. I feel like we haven't taken a break between the NBA playoffs and rolling right into the draft. Agency and summer league, and to your point, all the moves. But I absolutely love it, and I think any of us who are fans of the NBA have just absolutely, been on our toes and waiting to see what the next piece of breaking news is, because I think it's been fun. And LeBron James going to the Lakers is still it makes me smile, but it's still interesting for me to see him in a Lakers uniform. And who would have thought last year at this time that Kawhi Leonard would be a Raptor and DeMar DeRozan would be a member of the San Antonio Spurs? But I think you look at, with that happening, Golden State it will continue to be, I think, in all of our estimations, the prohibitive favorite heading into this NBA season. But after that, with the West and the competition among these teams, and where Houston is at, and what Oklahoma City has done with Paul George staying, and then you go down the rest of the list, and there is just so much balance and so many just excellent teams where everyone has gotten better. Everyone has improved. I think it'd be hard for anyone to say for sure who they really think are going to be the ones who end up in the top 8 seeds in the West. And then same goes for the East. And with Leonard, LeBron James leaving, it really opens up the door for a lot of teams. And Kawhi now being with Toronto, and how much better Boston will be once Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward are healthy. Philadelphia, of course, with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and then having another year under their belt, playoff experience, what that team will do. Giannis Antetokounmpo with Milwaukee. I mean, truly, go down the list of teams. And to me, that's what brings so much excitement for what's to come, because there is a lot of parity. There's a lot of balance. Some of the changes have been fun to see, because there's been a whole lot of improvements. But the thing that stands out to me most, it kind of circles back to the kids and the youth and the junior NBA. Like, for me, the other day when LeBron James opened up his school in Akron, Ohio, and, thinking about what so many of these individuals do off the court, and many that we get to hear about and get to celebrate, and just having an opportunity to see that school and to think about someone using their platform for such a tremendous, just in such a tremendous way to give back to the community, and then for so many other things that we often hear about after the fact, or players that it's not often talked about, but we know that they're doing good in the community. That's the cool part for me, and I do, when I think back to this summer, and I'm sure many years later, the thing that we'll see, LeBron going to the Lakers is going to be something that we're going to be talking about and watching for a long time, but it gave me chills watching that unveiling and watching the kids' faces that understanding some of the things within that. So that's something to me this summer that I'll continue to remember.
I'll get you out of here on this. What about the Bulls? I mean, Jabari Parker is back, and it's sort of a low risk, potentially high reward deal. Where do you see the Bulls fitting into some of the teams you mentioned in the East?
I'm excited about the Bulls. I know that they're not exactly, I know last year, since you get so accustomed, and I know, you grew up in Chicago, right?
Yes.
We're used to, the championship years, and Jordan, and
Pippen,
and all of that. So you get so spoiled by exactly what it is that they've been for so long and for so many years. And so, last year was different, and losing Jimmy Butler, kind of figuring out exactly, what direction they were going. But Lauri Markkanen, I think, is going to be an absolute stud. I think he's such a critical piece of how they can grow for the future. future. I'm excited to see with Zach LaVine what he comes back like, Chris Dunn, once he's healthy. I think he's such a dynamic point guard that if he continues to find his footing in the league, he'll really be someone that we'll have to keep an eye on. I like Wendell Carter Jr. I heard, you know, doesn't get snipped. I've heard great things about him, and of course, just watching him in college and what he can do. And Jabari, you know, I'm such a fan of Jabari Parker, and I root for him so hard to think about what he's come back with, having those two surgeries in the span of 3 years, and right at the very start of his professional career. So I think being back home and having an opportunity to now have last year under his belt, kind of, you know, reacclimate himself to the league, I think it's going to be a big year, not only for him, but just for the Bulls in general, and as they continue to work to get better and work to rebuild. You know, and I'm such a big fan of Fred Hoiberg, and I think he does a tremendous job. And so now that he's in his third year as a head coach, I really think that the Bulls are a team. You know, they're going to be in that mix of trying to, you know, I know the East is loaded, but I think they'll be in that mix as they work to try and see, you know, will they be in position that they try and fight for a playoff seed, you know, towards the end of the season. So I think there's a lot of good things to watch for. And I think anytime you have a young, dynamic team, that I know that's what Fred Hoiberg loves to do, get up and down and run and score a ton and
right.
fast-paced moving offense, it's going to be a fun team to watch, that's for sure.
You watch her call the junior World NBA Championships on FS1 starting August 7th. The championship games are August 12th. They'll be on the Big Fox Network. And you can also, of course, watch her, for those of you in the New York area, on the YES Network. And she'll be doing some college and pros, too. So let's have you back on coming up when the pro and the college basketball season starts, Sarah, because this is a great conversation.
I would absolutely love it anytime. I'm always here. So I would look forward to being back on the show again.
Thank you, Sarah.
Have a great day.
You too. At Sarah Kusak on Twitter. Once again, thank you, Sarah Kusak, for joining me, and thank you all for listening. Remember, you can listen to myself and Jay Pfeiffer on Chicagoland Sports Radio.com Thursday noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. Thank you for listening to the Second City Sports Podcast. Peace.